and also the family of Kathy Coggins, who is B.J. Coggins' mother. That is Katie Waitman Coggins' husband, or her mother-in-law. So please keep both families in your prayers. Bobby Waitman got to come home yesterday, late yesterday afternoon, so please keep him and Jana in your prayers. And also, we're glad to have Mickey here with us today. We have several prayer shawls. The first two are for Gina McLean and Lisa McLean, Gary's daughters. Judy has a prayer shawl, so we're blessing these for his daughters. And then we have one for BJ. And we have one for Mallory Carrick, who is Max's
brother.
His wife passed away this week. And then we have one for Ava Jean, who is Nicole Mize. She is to have a little girl this week by C-section. So if you'll pass those along and put your blessings on them. This week, Lutheran Men in Mission will meet in the Fellowship Hall at 6:30. Brews and Hymns is at Bull City this week at 7. Worship and Music Committee will meet at 6 p.m. Wednesday. And next Sunday is our fifth Sunday potluck following worship. Also, wanted to note the women's banquet will be held May 15th at 6 p.m., but there'll be more details following. You know?
Yeah, it's $10 a person.
$10 a person. Okay, and Debbie has an announcement.
On May the 11th, Lauren Cecil, our granddaughter, would be 21 years old. On July the 16th of this year, it will be 10 years since we lost Lauren. On Saturday, May the 6th, Lauren's Ladder is holding their grand fundraiser at the Breeden Amphitheater here in Lexington. It's going to be from 3 until 9. There's going to be 4 bands, 5 food trucks. There will be inflatables for the kids. And so we ask that everybody please bring your yard chair and come out and join us on this day. They're striving to raise $50,000 for Family Services of Davidson County. $30,000 of this has already been raised. This is mostly through sponsorships, but they would like to have more sponsors. And of course, lots of people to attend. And if you can help in any way with a 2-hour increment and volunteer for this, see Lori. They would have from 5 to 7 and from 7 to 9, or 2 times they especially need some help. We just ask that if you can come out and join us on this and have a good old fun day. Bring your yard chairs and we hope to see everybody.
Tell them how to buy and get tickets.
Oh, you get tickets through, how do we get tickets? I've got a flyer that I'm going to put out here on the bulletin board.
There's a QR code that you can download to see where to get tickets.
And it is on Facebook. You can find it there, or this will be out here. Okay, thank you.
Okay, birthdays this week are Bobby Waitman, Kent Everhart, Samantha Everhart, and Debbie Parsons. And anniversaries are Jonathan and Tina Hedrick and Todd and Lori Conrad. So let's pray for them. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay. Kim is organizing a meal train for Bobby and Jana. If you would like to provide some assistance in that way, please see her or give her a call. Is there any other announcements? Okay, let us prepare our hearts for worship with our prelude.
Good morning. It's always a delight to be with you. This morning we continue our worship. That was lovely. Thank you. We continue our worship with thanksgiving for baptism. When water is poured, I know sometimes that gets children's attention. I know, Sawyer, you're really the baby is here that I haven't met yet. So I would invite any children who would like to come and assist with the pouring of the water into the font. I know it's a big ask, isn't it, Sawyer? It's a big ask. Will you come and help? You don't have to. How about it? Can we bring the baby forward? She's not a baby anymore, and I should know her name, but I don't. Maddie Lynn. Well, you surely have those good Everhart genes, don't you? Look at you. Yeah. And Tony's going to help with the water piece for Sawyer. Thank you. If you can assist and Sawyer can help, that would be great. So I do invite you. Thank you. Thank you. I invite you to stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, by whose hand we are given new birth, by whose speaking we are given new life. Amen. Joined in Christ in the waters of baptism, we are welcomed, restored, and supported as citizens of the new creation. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Holy God, holy and merciful, holy and mighty, you are the river of life. You are the everlasting wellspring. In mercy and might, you have freed us from death and raised us with Jesus, the firstborn of the dead. In baptismal waters, our old life is washed away, and in them we are born anew. Glory to you for oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. Honor to you for waters that wash us clean, quench our thirst, and nurture both crops and creatures. Praise to you for the life-giving water of baptism, the outpouring of the Spirit of the new creation. Wash our sin and all that separates us from you. Empower our witness to your resurrection. Strengthen our resolve in seeking justice for all. Satisfy the world's need through this living water. Where drought dries the earth, bring refreshment. Where despair prevails, grant hope. Where chaos reigns, bring peace. We ask this through Christ, who with you and the Spirit reigns forever. Amen. And if I may, Sawyer, God loves you and always forgives you. Maddie, may I do this? I can do your hand. Okay, no, here. Maddie, God loves you and always forgives you. Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. O God, your Son makes himself known to all his disciples in the breaking of the bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Acts 2nd chapter. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is 116. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication. For the Lord has given ear to me whenever I call. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things God has done for me? I will lift the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of God's holy people. Precious in your sight, O Lord,
is the death of your servants.
O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid, who
you have freed me from my bonds.
I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving
and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord
in the presence of all God's people,
in the courts of the Lord's house,
in the midst of you, all Jerusalem.
The second reading is from 1 Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that with your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. Word of God, Word of life. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing Jesus. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered Jesus, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" They asked them, or he asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that Jesus was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he was going on. But they urged Jesus strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. And if you would join me in prayer. Reveal yourselves to us, O Lord, and guide us as we walk in hope. Help us to hear your voice and rely on your presence. Amen. Now, I know that at least one of you in this congregation will be able to tell me how many steps you have logged recently.
Pat? I'm calling on my friend because I know she wears a Fitbit. Anybody else? 3,000 plus. That's a good number of steps.
A day.
That's even better. Don't know that that would get you from Jerusalem to Emmaus, but it's a good start. So we know that fitness trackers have become a pretty common item of apparel, right? I don't know how many people wear them. I just happen to know that Pat does. The stats tell us over 31 million people use Fitbit at least once a week. They encourage and they prod people to be people on the move for their own health and well-being. So even the Gospel of Luke jumps in this morning to get us on our feet and set us on the road again. Throughout Luke's gospel, we find Jesus and his disciples getting their steps in. This morning, our gospel reading backtracks a bit, back to the day of resurrection, as we join two traveling disciples heading home later on that day of resurrection. Their feet seem heavy, their spirits downtrodden. The story moves at a slow pace. They may have heard the accounts given by the women and men at the empty tomb, but they pretty much consider those reports unbelievable. But Luke refuses to allow us, his readers, to step too quickly into resurrection relief and joy and hope. Now, much has been written and preached about why these two disciples fail to recognize Jesus, the risen Jesus. They know the details of Jesus' crucifixion and death, and they're obviously distressed by that reality, by their broken hopes of what would be or what was to come. Was it their grief? Was it some misconstrued expectation of how a Savior would make things different? Perhaps they needed some uncomplicated teaching time. But our gospel writer, Luke, is disappointingly silent on this intriguing question, leaving us plenty of room to ponder and debate. Because Luke moves our focus, our attention to Jesus, the risen Christ, who comes to his exhausted, disheartened followers in the midst of their pain. And Jesus prompts them to talk about their dashed hopes. Now, as readers, we certainly recognize the irony as the disciples relate to Jesus the story that Jesus has just lived through. But Jesus doesn't just catch up with these two travelers. Jesus uses these steps to catch them up on their scripture understanding. Jesus uses God's word to help them make sense of recent events and the difference between what is God's way and what is human desire and expectation. Now, we've heard this story a lot, most of us. We've read it a lot, We've heard it preached a lot. This time, when I read through it and worked with my Bible study preaching buddies, I was caught by two things in particular. As I walked along these well-known steps to Emmaus, my first observation is how very much we are like these two disciples. Right? We know a lot about God. We know about God's promise. We probably, given the fact that this is the third Sunday of Easter, y'all were probably here on Easter Sunday. Because if you're here on the third Sunday of Easter, you're people that like the word. If you're here when your pastor, your called pastor, isn't here, you're people that really take chances and appreciate the word. You care about understanding God's grace and the life-giving gift of Jesus Christ, how it works, not just here at church, but in our lives. We also think about our actions. We think about what we do. We think and debate what's the best use of our resources, of our time, of our talents. Now, we also may occasionally be unaware that our vision is clouded and our eyes aren't quite working properly. And we are saddened by the what could have been. We are saddened by a future that will never be. We experience diminished hope. And we may still want a Jesus who blesses us with wealth and power and privilege. And we often prefer and cling to an image of a Savior that in no way describes nor resembles Jesus. And like our two traveling companions, we cannot control the one who opens and closes eyes. Nor can we come to believe through our own efforts. I'm venturing a guess that, like me, many of you spend a good amount of time struggling on the road between. The road between knowing the resurrection happened and the fading hopes, wondering, are God's promises really being fulfilled? And I would say we need, like those two travelers, we need the company of other travelers to renew our hope. And in this space between loss of hope and renewed confidence in Christ, I often find myself not stepping out, but stumbling. Stumbling. And that is why I cling to the second gift of this story. And that's a gift that's identified for you on the front of your bulletins, right? It's highlighted there. We worship. And this text outlines, shows us the pattern for worship. From the very first unbelievers in the resurrection to now, right? It's a good pattern. We gather, we care, and we welcome. We dig into God's word as we travel together. We come to the welcome table expecting to recognize Christ's presence in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. We are nurtured and sent out to share. to share the good news. In word, in song, in meal, we remind each other how God meets us wherever we may be. Struggling, stumbling, or stepping right along. We hear the promise that our sins are forgiven and that the Holy Spirit is poured out. We see it happen in Luke's Emmaus meal, right? The risen one lifts, blesses, breaks, gives bread. The disciples recognize immediately not only the risen alive Jesus, but they experience the presence of the Lord God whose power gives life to the dead. And that experience of bread broken propels them. Our story changes speed, right? It propels them from broken hearts to burning hearts. With the news that is too good not to share, even when it means traveling on a dangerous road. It is a good pattern. It empowers us each time we worship. We remember what it means to be God's church. It's a hope-restoring pattern for a church that steps out with God's purpose tingling in us as we go. This is a space, a place, where both broken and burning hearts are welcome. We gather in mutual love and support to worship, to learn, to experience the life-giving presence of the risen Jesus Christ, and to extend this same opportunity to others so that they may learn the Easter story and belong to Jesus. I wish we had a fitness tracker to log how we step out in renewed hope to share the resurrection story. What exactly would we track? Well, I'm thinking it's the witness of our lives and our loving actions. The love we offer, the forgiveness we extend, the help we give, the kindness we share. With each step into our hope-starved world, we glorify God and move one step closer to God's kingdom come. In closing, and I know you're ready for the closing, I would like to invite you to recall the gift of hope. Just however you need to do it, if you need to just put both feet on the floor and take a big, deep breath, recall the gift of hope that the risen Jesus brought to these two disciples, their excitement, their burning hearts, as they experienced the real presence. And invite that hope into your life. Allow hope to enter your mind, your spirit, and your body. And as you breathe, allow yourself to be filled with hope as you are filled with breath. May the hope that is Christ fill you with a sense of purpose and direction and renewed love. Amen.
Gather in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. United in hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Ever-present God, you make yourself known in the breaking of the bread and in the bonds of community. Reveal yourself to us in the faces of all we meet. Strengthened by your body and blood, let us boldly live out your good news. Risen Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we know you in the breaking of the bread, we know you in the grains of the field and the flowing waters. Care for the earth you lovingly create. Strengthen those who safeguard threatened land and water. Risen Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Help us keep the needs of those most vulnerable at the forefront of our community. Move us to care for any who are disregarded or oppressed. Risen Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Mothering God, you feed and comfort those who hunger. Open the hearts of those who hoard resources and lead them to share your abundance. We pray for anyone hungering for your comforting peace this day, especially Dean, the family of Gary McLean, Bill, Boyd, Scott, Paul and Carolina, the family of Walt Anderson, Nancy, John, Karen, Mickey, Kent, Bobby, the family of Kathy Coggins, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we name now aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Risen Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
You pour out your love on those who are oppressed. Support and comfort anyone who is marginalized by gender or sexuality and those whose stories are not believed. Form this community to listen faithfully and speak honestly in our ministry together. Risen Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We remember with thanksgiving all your beloved saints as you have raised them to the eternal life. Abide with us in your promise of resurrection. Risen Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty,
eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share Christ's peace. Peace, peace be with you. Peace be with you.
In this meal, you offer your very self. We give thanks for these gifts of the earth. In the breaking of this bread, reveal to us the risen one. In the pouring of this wine, pour out in service to the world. Through Jesus, amen.
It's not just those two disciples whose eyes weren't open. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with whom, and you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. When we eat this bread, we share the body of Christ. When we drink this cup, we share the blood of Christ. The risen Christ invites us to this table. Come, eat, and be satisfied. Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in his grace. Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry about that. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor, giving you his hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Go in peace. Share the good news. Alleluia.